Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guest, I want you to know that I am grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to or watch this show. And please remember, this show exists for you. So your questions, your input is very valuable to us. Now, speaking of gratitude, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network and download a free copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, most of us are familiar with the physical health benefits of fruits, vegetables, meats, herbs, spices. Personally, I make protein shakes every morning. So we already know what their nutritional effects are on our body. And it's well known, for example, that turmeric, another thing that I add, is a powerful anti-inflammatory. And we know that carrots, we were told since we were kids, improve our eyesight. But what about the vibrational benefits of food? How does our diet affect the, not only affect, but involve our emotional, mental, and spiritual states? Now, our topic today is, as you may have guessed, vibrational nutrition, understanding the energetic signature of food. Our guest, Candace Covington, is a certified aromatherapist, massage therapist, healing arts master, and energy worker. She's a former instructor at Ashmead College and former aromatherapist for the Chopra Center. She is the founder of Divine Archetypes and the author of Essential Oils in Spiritual Practice and Vibrational Nutrition. Candace, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And I can just barely hear you.
Oh, okay. Is this better?
Yes, that's a little better. So first of all, I just want to let you know that to me, this is an exciting topic because I've noticed how different foods affect me. And yet I never really tied it to vibrational energy. I think I was just one of those people that knew that whatever I ate made me feel different. But what started you down the path of vibrational energy of our foods? It's not something that most people initially go, hey, I'm going to go for this.
Well, I have a very strong background in plants, and most of my focus through not only study, but just personal experience and working with clientele was more on the subtle level. And then it just slowly dawned on me, as like you said, I would take something into my body and I would feel the same sort of shift I would do if like the way people would talk about using a flower essence or an essential oil. And then I really started digging into that, and it became so abundantly clear to me that old adage, you are what you eat, is indeed true. Mm-hmm. And you could either use foods to create positive states to help you achieve goals, or if you're kind of stuck in a situation that will alone is not enough, you consume a food that will literally create the foundation of change to allow you to adapt to a new way of being.
Now, I think a lot of us refer to cravings. Do the vibrational effects, are they tied to cravings at all?
Absolutely. Okay. That is what I would refer to as your deep self trying to communicate with you aspects that it wants to develop. So you can look at cravings as an oracle in essence. So mm-hmm. you're trying to have a conversation with a sentient being, which is your food you consume, but they don't dialogue in a language that we're used to. So these cravings, I believe, are built-in mechanism that is allowing you to be directed by the food indeed to bring you not only to conscious awareness of what you need to be working on for better. It is such a kind way that nature organized that. In first, that it lets you know, alerting you to something you might not be mentally aware of. And then secondly, literally giving you the tools to arrive.
So now when we're talking about cravings, and I know that there's been some research and stuff that has shown that big food companies and stuff, are focusing on cravings. But explain the difference between the type of craving that a processed food that was geared towards, trying to make us want to keep eating it versus a vibration that is telling us that we should have something that might be tied closer to real food?
That's a great question. And I'm glad you brought that up. So with anyone who's interested in my book, I only speak about whole foods because my premise is only about filtering to bring you towards the ends. Whereas that engineering a processed food is literally manipulating different aspects of the way that we evolve to want, fat and salt and, whatever, that it hits us in such a dynamic, I don't mean dynamic in a positive way, and perhaps avalanches with so much, information that it creates that imbalance, but that doesn't serve for any sort of positive evolution in any way. And there's nothing really being communicated because it's dead. It's a Frankenfood. It's not from nature. So you must deal within what Mother Nature created herself if you want to have that wholesome relationship of going to cravings. So it's sometimes really easy to give an example for, so it's not so in the abstract. Mm-hmm. For example, my personality is that if anyone studies Ayurveda that's listening, I'm very much, and I love ideas, but the thing I struggle with in my own personal life is creating structure. Mm-hmm. And so I will crave yellow crookneck squash because it helps me keep to a routine. Mm. So I personally crave that, not because it's, it is delicious, and it is good for me, but I crave it because it helps me function in society in a way that I was not born with the natural chops to do.
So let's look at that from the standpoint. I mentioned turmeric in the beginning. So would it make sense then if my body is craving turmeric, which is interesting because it is something that I put in my drink and at times I really feel like I'm craving it. Is that my body telling me that I have some inflammation that I need to deal with?
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. But again, just to really take the point back to your side on the subtle level, and that one literally has to do with, it stimulates the third chakra. So it's organization. That one specifically is organization of information, breaking mm-hmm. it down into small usable bits, and then figuring out how to express that in a very functional manner in the world. And just because I used two examples back to back that were sort of similar. For example, I had a woman come to me the other day for a session, and she was unfortunately stuck in a situation where there's nothing to be done. And so she has to practice patience, which is way harder than doing something for many people. So the antidote or the prickly pear to help her just be as zen about it as possible is prickly pear. So no matter how precise the issue is that somebody is going towards, there's going to be a food that's back to how it's going to help you on either the mental or emotional or spiritual level. And I do not speak much to how it affects the physical body.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about cravings and aversions. What mm-hmm. does that reveal about us as humans?
So I posit that cravings is your deep self communicating what it wants you to go to, like a gift that's awaiting for you. So if you follow your cravings, it'll help develop whatever aspect of you that needs to be shored up to allow you to arrive at the goal that you want to achieve. And if you have an aversion, it usually has to do with some shadow aspect of self that you're avoiding, because either it's too painful or, frankly, you just don't feel like dealing with it in the moment. But whatever aspect of self that you're kind of neglecting or ignoring, that is a call from, again, your deep self to action to say, hey, look at this. This is something that you will be much happier in the long run if you take time to really delve into this. And again, I'm not going to throw you into the deep end of the pool because nature is so kind. If you promise to, you know, kind of rip off the Band-Aid and go into that, I will give you all of the support you need to allow you to explore it in a healthy, safe way. And then not only be able to see it with clarity, but to be able to heal that and then bring it into the positive aspect.
You know, I'm thinking about my foster brother, who is a long distance runner and has done this all of his life. And yet he has an aversion to anything green. So vegetables, essentially. And he has, I mean, all of his life, or as long as I've known him, since he was about six. What does that say? And how do we know if something is mental? Is it a mental thing? In other words, you know, was there something that happened to him and it's a mental decision that was made? Or is there something physiologically or chemical in him that just, he just absolutely can't eat anything like that?
I would say start, because that's a huge aversion, basically anything that's green. So since that's not plant specific, but what we can do, and I have do write about in my book, is that all green foods naturally tie in to the heart chakra, because that's mm-hmm. the color that it is. So when you eat a green food, you get to tap into two aspects of basically energy. A, just whatever the dynamic of the plant signature is. But B, what I would say is the overlay is all things that are heart chakra. And as all your listeners will know, duality, there's a set of positive things that come with that. And then there's a set of what I would call shadow things, not negative, but there's just something that needs to be cultivated and healed to bring it into the positive. So when by avoiding eating green foods in general, he is not addressing one of the major energy centers that is, you know, a part of all human functionality. So it might be interesting for him to look up a detailed, you know, just, I would even just start with a bullet list because it's easier mm-hmm. to process and just see if there's anything in there that really stands out. It has been my experience with a clientele that I've worked with is that when there's such a dislike of just a certain color spectrum, that there's right. usually a very strong aggregate that's rooted in that. And when they read it, it just pops for them. And then that gives them, again, directionality that opens up to curiosity. So it gives them to identify either the thing is they want to cultivate or the thing they want to heal. Well, then they can start to look up foods that will support that as well. So then again, you get, you know, both mm-hmm. the energy of the chakra and then the specific energy of the food, which he might find out that there's something within there. If he gives himself, I always tell my clients, give yourself 30 days, even if you don't think you love it, eat it mindfully, do it in a prayerful manner where you're aware why you're choosing to take this in and really ask your body to allow you to feel the sensations to go with it. And I get reports from people all the time, you know, like, I never thought I would like this and it is my absolute favorite now. I cannot eat it enough. And then when they kind of hit their goal with that, maybe the intensity of the craving will diffuse and then something else will step into the forefront, even though they maintained it in their diet they really thought they disliked. It's like an extreme pleasure response where they can't have enough of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the same vein, why do food cravings and or aversions change over time? Because I feel like as we grow older, there might be something that when we were children, we had an aversion to that later on becomes something, you know, that we love.
Well, in a nutshell, humans evolve. You know, we're never the same person than we were even 10 minutes ago. When I leave your show, I'm going to be new aspects of myself will be different. So who knows what I will crave on the outside of this. So just in general, as we grow and have different scenarios thrown at us, we're going to require different things. You know, some people might be, you know, really focused on work or creativity or raising a family or deep into their spiritual process, or maybe, you know, in therapy and healing something. You know, so depending on cravings will take you, because human beings are complex. And so our cravings reflect that.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, about the book, and you've written this in such a way to where it discusses, you know, the situation, but then it goes into, here are the things you can do to change it, or here are the things you can do to make yourself better in whatever it is that you're going through. Share a little bit about that from the standpoint of, and you can use an example or something like that, of the type of situations that people are running into, where as they're reading the book, they are, you know, it's helping them with emotional or, you know, or other physical ailments. You know, I know that right now there's a huge issue with, you know, with people's gut, you know, that our gut flora has whatever been taken a beating, and, you know, and Big Pharma just wants to keep throwing more drugs down there. You know, here, take another pill. Let's talk a little bit about the things that we can do that you touch on in the book to make our gut flora as fresh and wonderful as possible.
Well, again, so my book doesn't talk about that specifically, because that's a physical thing. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you eat whole green foods that, you know, basically provide you with, you know, like the fiber, which is what basically the gut bacteria provides. And of course, you know, fermented foods like yogurt or kefir or sauerkraut will add to that. So, and that will create, you know, a happy environment. But my book, for example, is, I have a recipe in there that, for example, looks at time management, you know, because for a lot of people during this, you know, whole COVID breakdown is that, you know, they're starting to work from home. They have to, you know, parent their kids from school. You don't able to go to the gym or yoga or, you know, take dance lessons or whatever it is that created your life. And so a lot of people had a sensation of feeling awash, you know, like there was just too much, either too much time or not enough time. And then they had to figure out how to, you know, break that into an oriented day. So for example, I have a recipe that looks at different mushrooms that mm-hmm. Address that. And then watercress is the star of the show in that one, which absolutely looks at that. So it's more things that are along that line of being practical, you know, and then, or I have, you know, other ones that are designed to, you know, help from everything in from emotional intimacy to people who are curious to, you know, being, you know, like keepers of ancestry and genealogy, you know. So it's more along the lines of how does it help people or spiritual states.
Okay. And so let's take the one, I love the one that you brought up from the standpoint of time management, because I've literally now become since COVID, oftentimes I don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a weekend or not a weekend. And it seems like if I blink, a week went by. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things, and you mentioned, but explain not only what these foods are, but what it is that they do and why that's going to be of great assistance for someone. And let's start with that. So let's say that, you know, my time management's all messed up. What am I going to do?
Trumpet mushrooms are such a boon. So those help people literally like understand like where you are in time and space. So imagine that, like, say to yourself, you know, I should get up and do my meditation, maybe go for a walk, and then budget this when I come in. So it helps you be able to organize your day without the outside structures that we used to be used for. And then the other one that I find incredibly helpful is watercress. So that's for people who are just overwhelmed with just too much to do in the course of a day. So there's literally a sensory overload. So what that allows one to do is decide what to put on the back burner and, you know, prioritize so you can take things in baby steps and not become overwhelmed until you hit the end of the day. And so this is where cooking and recipes come in. Okay. So that one's really fun. It creates like a synergy, like people mm-hmm. who are used to using essential oils, for example, you know, very, a lot of people will not use, like, say, just like, you know, a frankincense. You'll mm-hmm. blend it with three or four other oils to create a synergy because it becomes a stronger intention to where you're going. Same principle applies for recipes when you're cooking for an intent. So if you want time management, absolutely trumpet mushrooms, because mm-hmm. think of that one as an internal clock. The watercress helps you prioritize what needs to be done. And this one is so easy to get your hands on, but she is so dynamic in this realm. But just the plain white button mushroom, she helps you learn from your mistakes in the moment. So not, you know, your life doesn't become a series of, you know, difficulties from that. So, you know, it's so easy, you know, because you'll do something. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That really made it so much harder to manage my day. That will really help that lesson stick so you don't repeat that. So, you know, making a simple saute out of that, you know, is just a really effective way to kind of address those three prongs. And then you could do anything, you know, pomegranates to have time for both kind of their internal creativity and their external activities. And that's great for a working parent, for example, you know, that has to divide their times between personal passions and then, you know, the outward energy they have to put into the world just to manage their life.
So you mentioned sauteing. So as I was writing this down, as you were saying it, and I was thinking in my mind, I was trying to think of things, and I know you have recipes in the book, which I think is great.
Well, thank you.
But are we talking about things to where we should be getting these raw, or if we are sauteing them, do we need to stay like under 108 degrees? I mean, what would you suggest in that area?
Well, for, again, I love fine tuning things. So for example, I would say for this one, because we're into time management, mm-hmm. olive oil would be a great one because it's pressed from the olive fruit, and basically Athena, you know, the goddess of, not only she gets, a lot of people focus on that she was a war goddess, but her, one of her more fascinating expressions of self is she taught the people how to make a plow so they can, you know, plow the field. She taught people how to weave. So what she's about is taking information, collating it, and understanding how to use that in a practical application. So you can see where adding an olive oil vibration to mm-hmm. this time management one would be wonderful because it might spark an epiphany on how to do something in an easier, better way and have a, you know, a breakthrough with how to actually, you know, do what you're doing. Whereas, say, for example, if you used an almond oil, which is, you know, super delicious, but that one has more to do with fear of aging and understanding yourself only from an exterior point of view, where you think if I'm, you know, the bloom is fading on the rose, basically, and then you forget to see that there's the inside beauty is when you move into kind of that latter part of your life is the time for that to shine. That really helps people come to terms with that. So that one wouldn't have a role in that salad, but you would perhaps, you know, use it for a salad dressing, you know, coupled with other foods that help people address that, those type of issues, for example.
Okay. So we're now talking about this as a salad, and you were mentioning about sauteing. So what about garlic?
Oh, I love that one. That mm-hmm. one is all about basically having threshold experiences and holding space for you until you're able to kind of catch up. And then it's all about letting that internal radiance shine out. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun, not only to serve to your growth trajectory, to help you maintain all of that information and not become disoriented by it, but in fact, integrate it and then understand how to literally shine it out into the world and share the newly learned gifts with others. And that's also a sweet gift to give to people when they're going through exciting times in their life. You know, you might want to, you know, make them, for example, just roasted garlic and invite them over, you know, for a nice little crostini or something like that, because that's a way to not only honor them, but hold space to really allow them through these, you know, exciting growth times.
Okay. Well, now as we're talking about something like a salad and we're talking about a variety of different things, are there things that don't go together You know, so in other words, but vibrationally, it would be like, well, okay, this and this and this is good, but other things, if you mix them together, kind of just don't mesh.
In my belief system, no. Okay. Because humans are so complex. We can have really odd things that seem discongruent going on at the same time. But this is a fun way to kind of find out, because I'm a big believer in using our body as an oracle, and that Mother Nature really does want to chat us up and tell us what's going on. But just take your left hand, shake it out, and next time you're at the market, just ask, say, I really want to create a dish that is going to super support what I need in the moment to help me grow most. And then literally just let your hand hover over the fruits and vegetables. And when you get a strong sensation in your palm, I personally feel a cool tingling, but people feel heat, or some people will rock backwards. But I mean, but you will get a physical knowing. Just put it in your basket. Don't overthink about it. Get home, look up what all of the signatures are. And this is what I call creating, deconstructing a recipe or creating a narrative. And then as you look up each one of the signatures for those foods, just take out the aspects that really resonate with you in the here and now, and then just read them together as a whole, and then figure out how those play together. And a message will definitely emerge. And frequently it is surprising, but like completely spot on. And then you get really excited to chat with plants.
Now, and when you mentioned look up their signatures, is this something you have on your website, or where is the best place for people to get this information?
My new book.
It's in the book. Okay.
Yeah. So there's over 400 signatures, and I cover basically everything from spices to fruit and vegetables to dairy. And if you eat fish or shellfish, or either what I call other proteins, you know, those are in there as well. So.
All right. We are speaking with Candace Covington, and we are talking about vibrational nutrition, understanding the energetic signatures of food. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network. My guest is Candace Covington, and we have some listener questions that have come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to send these in. I know some people work in the middle of the day, so we get some of these that come in the night before or early in the morning before the show starts, and want you to know it's always appreciated. So this first one reads, I'm excited at the opportunity to view your interview on this topic. From morning to night, we plan, prepare, and consume food mechanically with very little thought as to the effects of something like its vibration might have on our bodies. I ordered your book and can't wait to dive in into it this coming weekend. My question is, does our heritage, say Native American or Scottish, have any influence on the vibration of the food we eat? And this is from Ginger in Washington.
First, Ginger, thank you for ordering my book. And I would say absolutely. You know, it's fascinating to see what foods evolve on what continents. You know, because now we've moved into a place where we can basically, you know, through greenhouses and watering and whatnot, we're very clever, you know, as a cult, you know, as a society and whole, where we can grow things in different regions. But if you have a really strong cultural identity, definitely take the time to do some research and see what is indigenous to the area that you're from, and really look into those foods. And then I would do a deep dive into those. You can, again, look them up in my book, but even start to read different myths or legends. I mean, it is fascinating. Almost all cultures have wonderful folk stories that revolve around what the role of food was specifically for them within their cultural understanding. So yes, that is super fun. I do that all the time, actually. And I did that heavily when I wrote this book.
All right. And do you have some examples in the book where it talks about, how something might affect someone different from Eastern Europe or versus here, or and how would somebody know?
Again, you have to tap into with your own intuition. But I've been reading, and this one is I've been reading The Handless Maiden, which was first. I mean, it's been around for a lot longer, but the Brothers Grimm were the first one to sort of collate it and put it down. And the two foods that really stand out in this is pear and apple. And if so within that culture where that was written and taken from, the way that the people told the story concerning that is the apple. I mean, this could get very long, so I'm just going to do it really quick because you know how involved the folk tales are. So I won't do that.
Okay.
So basically the apple in this denoted the beginning of a journey because her father inadvertently, by accident, traded her to literally the devil, but he didn't realize he did this because there was an apple tree behind their house. And he came up and he, of course, said, "I will give you all of these riches if you give me what is behind your house." And he thought, "Oh, it's just this old apple tree, you know," and he had no idea that his daughter was back there. And he, by accident, basically gave her. And so what happened was when he found out, when he came home, his wife died. So that was the beginning of what some people would say. I mean, Apple's been using metaphorical from, you know, a drop from grace into kind of real world hardship. And so that was the beginning of her journey. And so then she had to go out in the world, and she ran away from the scenario and left home. And what made her the handless maiden is to get away from this ensnaring energy is that fairy tales are horrific, but that's just the way they're written. The father cut off her hands, and that's why she was able to flee from this, you know, energy. Yeah. Well, her saving grace ended up being a pear. So she got to the king's orchard and she was crying, you know, because she was so sad, bereft, and she couldn't reach up to even pick it because she didn't have hands. Well, the tree in its kindness bent down and gave her a pear. And so even when you look in Renaissance art, pears are frequently depicted in the robes of the Madonna or in different saints and things like this. And so even though one is in Italy and one is in basically, kind of Germany, you know, aspect of Europe, they both have that kind of energy. It's kind of a redemption. Mm-hmm. So what happened was after she was able to eat this, the king saw her, of course, fell in love with her, brought her into the castle. And then eventually through her pious good works, her hands grew back. So if you want to look into the way that, you know, the food, you know, represents that area, I would look at art. I would read folktales. And then, and if you still have relatives or anything, ask them, you know, what are their cultural memories that have been, you know, handed down over time.
All right. Now, is there a meditation or a practice that I can do, or that any listener or viewer can do to find out what foods want to communicate with us or food?
Absolutely. And there's a longer version in my book, but most people have probably done meditating or, you know, journeying where you look at things. And so a really easy one, you know, is just, you know, to go where you normally meditate, you know, and then put, you know, your right hand on your heart, your left on your stomach, you know, take several deep grounding breaths. I like to do 5 or 6, you know, it's nice to do, you know, 7 in, hold, you know, 3, and then exhale 4. Mm-hmm. And then once you get there, literally allow your mind to wander through a garden, you know, just think paradisal and have a basket. And when you're there, go through and allow yourself to look for everything and put in everything that you would want to consume and really allow your mind's eye to take you there. And also, if there's anything that you're just kind of really like put off by, put that in. So you can have a look, you know, imagine going to the seashore or fishing or, you know, whatever it is that your passion is around it until you feel satiated on the inside. And then again, use this as an oracle. I would say in the beginning, when you're learning how to use this philosophy, take the time to look up the individual food signatures and mm-hmm. see what they have to do. Because especially when you're doing it, this methodology through what I'm putting forward, it's that food is going to connect precisely to the vibration that's listed, because if not, it would be a sloppy system and it wouldn't help you figure things out. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over again. So it is just a really keen way to get really precise information. And then as you befriend the food, just start feeling into how it interacts with you on a personal level, and layers of information that are unique to you will start to, a lot of people that I work with, and it happens to me constantly, will start dreaming about food and their specific messages, you know, because dreams are not just archetypal dreams. And I think food dreams are archetypal dreams. They don't just come in words, but there's strong sensations, there's strong imagery. There's, you know, so you get to learn in such more of a 3D manner. Mm-hmm. And so your being will and your mind will start to be flooded with information on how this food precisely relates to you, how it wants to help you, and then basically the gifts that can come from that.
So now, how would be a good way to prime the well in regards to starting to do that kind of dreaming?
Well, I love taking, if you take a teaspoon of borage oil, that's all about opening up your sixth and seventh chakra and basically opening you up to visionary type dreams. Red Mill online, it's fantastic. Or if you live close to an Ethiopian restaurant, just order some Injari bread because it's primarily made out of that. And that is all about being able to dream in symbology and understand what unique message it is for you. And if you're an individual that works with specific guides or helpers, that helps them communicate to you again in symbolic forms. A lot of people will literally get like shapes or colors or, you know, something along that line that's for you to interpret concerning that. Another really great one is actually just lavender radish. That one is fantastic for teaching dreams. And then if you're lucky enough to live near wild violet and we're in the right season, pick that and make it into lemonade or devas or the fairy kingdom. But basically nature spirits have a more direct conversation. And so that one is a gorgeous gateway to allow you to have a little bit more direct conversation with, again, the fruit and vegetable kingdom. And of course, that goes for herbs as well.
Now, would it be safe to assume that we're talking about organic?
Oh, yes, 100%. Okay. And if you can manage it, not only just organic, you know, get it from a source where it is grown with love. You know what I mean? So if you're able to, you know, go to a local farmer's market or, mm-hmm. you know, even grow it on your own, you know, land or even patio gardening. Yes. So absolutely organic. And then if possible, known that it is grown in an environment where these plants are indeed showered with love.
You know, you bring up a good point in this day and age of COVID and people staying home. What are some of the homes where it doesn't take up, not in the home, but I mean on our property, right. in our own property, where it doesn't take up a lot of space, but provides a lot of really positive nutrients for us?
I just planted, just because they're gorgeous, some miniature cucumbers that you can hang in hanging baskets. So they shower down over the side and there's little, and there's varieties that are just the size of your thumb. So, and they're so cute. You can get those. There's like sour gherkins. And then there's these darling little white ones whose name eludes me at the moment, but just Google miniature white cucumbers and it'll pop up and they're amazing. Then there's a whole bunch of variety of bush tomatoes that are indeed have been created to grow in pots on the patio that they work out really well. And then many of your smaller pepper varieties, they're not difficult to grow it all. And those are really easy. But if you have a little bit more space, you can grow everything from, Thai eggplants, which are small, to any variety of peas, as long as you put up the trellises for them to climb on. And then obviously you can grow basically almost all herbs as long as you have direct sunlight.
All right.
I love it. And we have another question that came in. And this one, it says, there are so many different diets out there. I'm currently on Dr. Gundy's gluten-free protocol, and I've had great success. My friend swears by paleo. How does your book compare to these major programs? And this is from Vera in Georgia.
Hi, Vera. That's a grand question. And mine doesn't follow any specific ideology. In fact, in the front of the book, I talk about that. So everybody, again, is so unique. So mine is not tell you, but once you identify what works for you, if you want to do a deep dive into the foods that you have identified, work within a system that is correct for you, it gives you a broader knowledge of the foods within the system you can work with and how they're literally behaving, again, on your mental, emotional, and spiritual body. So yes, do what you need to do to make you physically feel the best that you can. And then once you identify that, really get to know the players within that so you can have a deeper relationship with each and every one.
As I'm listening to you, it's one of the things I'm thinking about, first of all, is that in regards to your book, I think this is the type of thing that if these were the things that we were teaching young people at an early stage, this would be so powerful to be able to have them understand more about their food. Unfortunately, all the money is spent on, huge corporations that are putting out fake food.
Right.
And so that's what they're bombarded with. So to be able to have a book like this that's provided by our schools to where they're saying, look, I realize that, you see a lot of commercials that tell you one thing, but here's the real story. And I think that would make a huge change. So aside from having your book in every school, if I gave you a magic wand and made you the director of our food system, of big agriculture, what would be like maybe the three biggest changes that you would make?
Oh, that's such a deep question. Oh, I wish I had hours to ponder that, but I'll be as quick as I can.
We have about 4 minutes.
Well, then I'll be quick on that one. I think you just in maybe of your boutique grocery stores, the things that we already know that cater towards that, like maybe a Whole Foods or, Good Nutrition or whatever your local health food store is, frequently it'll say, where they're grown, what its major vitamins and minerals are. But wonder if there was just a short blurb about what you could do with that. So if you're on the fly and you already knew that you were just had like, say, for example, honeydew melon is for making a mountain out of a molehill. So say you already knew that had a bad day at work, you were already had a short temper, but you knew you had to go home and you had to deal with all sorts of things. Not only is that a fabulous dessert, but specifically within sweet fruits, that will help you not have a short fuse. So maybe like that, just, tiny blurbs, in grocery stores that were oriented towards that. So you could shop for like not only your body, but your mind and soul.
I love through the store, what they're seeing, is based on how you feel at that moment, you're seeing the foods and it's right there on the front to where everybody can walk up and go, wow, I could really use something that would help this particular issue that I'm dealing with right now. And you could go and find the real food that would actually do that. I think that's a great one. And it's funny, even though I was asking you, one of the things that I thought that you might say was, well, I think the first thing I would do is to have them switch to where all of the incentives that are provided out to the big agricultural companies are taken away. And those incentives are now provided to people that are doing organic farms and so on, so that we are getting more health that is brought to us through our foods.
Well, of course. That goes without saying. Yes,
So, so again, we've just got another about a minute or two. So, first of all, Can I assume that your books, they're available everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon? Is there any other places that would be good to get it, or any other information, maybe like at your website or something, that would be helpful?
Sure. You can get it through my publisher, Inner Traditions. Always shout out to them. I love them. But if you just go to your local bookstore, if it's not in there, you can literally just ask for them to order it in. And then my website, it has, I blog about this all the time. So if you're interested, it's a resource besides ordering my book. Mm-hmm. And it's divinearchetypes.org.
All right. So again, that's divinearchetypes.org. If you're driving, don't try to write that down. We'll make sure that we have it on the answers.network site so that you can get it there. Candace, thank you so much to put together so much valuable information. Now we just need to figure out a way to get it out to everybody. So again, for everybody out there, take this show, send it to your friends. Tell them about the book. Tell them whatever it is that they're going through before you start looking at big pharma or things that are going to possibly alter your life in a very strange way. Start with the food. That's our first medicine. Start there first. And then, if that may handle it, you may not need to go those other routes. So again, thank you, Candace, so much for joining us. And let us know, if you have a follow-up or something like that that's coming out, please let us know. We'd love to have you keep us apprised of whatever's new that's coming out.
I just started a new book, so all the delight. You are a fabulous host.
Thank you. And for everybody out there, please listen to us next Monday when we're joined by Chris Duffin to discuss his new book, The Eagle and the Dragon. It's a story of strength and reinvention. And in this interview, Chris shares his journey into the darkness of his own heart. And then you'll be able to witness his transformation from alcoholism, pain, and defeat to vision, character, and victory. Now, through Chris's powerful self-realization, you'll see how the human spirit can be either shackled by circumstances or freed from it all. And please visit our archives of past interviews at Answers.network and subscribe to our show through iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, BitChute, YugiTube, or whatever popular podcast platform you listen to us on. And please, I want you to know that it helps us reach more people and it helps other people make decisions on what works best for them. So again, for everybody out there, be good human beings, make a positive difference in someone's life today, and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain. And fast, it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.